We are greatly challenged today in this world we live in on all fronts. The devil has had his way with this world, and we are seeing an onslaught from the outside pressing in on the church. We are seeing damage being done from within, inside the church, because God's people as a whole are not fully given over in dedicating themselves to the living Word of God. And so things creep in because of that, because we do not wear the entire panoply of God as individuals. There is an attack and an onslaught within the church as well. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this series, I want you to know and I want you to understand my heart's desire for myself, for my soul, and for my life is the same desire that I have for you and for your soul and for your life. Everything I say to you in this series will be from the depths of my heart and from the love that stirs within my heart for you and for your eternal salvation. There is coming a great and awesome day when the King will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25 and verse 34. The kingdom of God prepared from the foundation of the world weighs in the balance as we make the decisions that we make, as we determine to be the people that we have determined to be in the time that we've been given to do those things by the true and living God Himself. This is a series of lessons that are sorely needed. In each lesson, warnings will be sounded from the Word of God. When the local church hears the warning that is given from the Word of God, the local church must act on that warning and correct the things that are not in their proper place. God has called us to this work. It is a difficult work, and there is some searching that needs to take place, but we must do it because it's given by God. Brothers and sisters, we must refresh our resolve to please God in everything. We must refresh our resolve to please God in everything. I want to share with you some great dangers that challenge the local church today. Some of the things I've seen, and certainly the things which God has seen and foreseen and warns us about. Remember, when the church is warned, we have a responsibility to hear that warning. When the trumpet is sounded, when a warning is called, we are to respond appropriately to that warning. Not to sit idly and say, "Oh, well, tomorrow will be just like yesterday," but to say, "Wait a minute, this applies. There's something that must be done here by us, by me," whatever the case may be. And so I'm going to offer to you three great dangers that challenge the local church today. Number one is wolves. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Read with me what Jesus says about wolves. Matthew 7 and verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Jesus tells us that we need to be watchful, we need to be paying attention, because these wolves will not come in as wolves. They don't look like wolves. We're not going to be startled by them when they come in because they have the same outfit on that we do. They look like one of us. They talk like one of us. They hold one of these. But Jesus tells us to be careful of ravenous wolves because they are wearing sheep's clothing. And their heart's desire, their determination, is to tear down and to destroy the Lord's church. How do we spot such men and women? Look down at verse 20. Matthew 7 and verse 20. "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Brothers and sisters, this can be discerned. This can be found out. We are to be patient. We are to listen. We are to embrace our brethren as we see them to be our brethren. But we are to be listening closely and carefully to what our brethren think and to what they believe, because Jesus has warned us. Some of us, though we look the same, may not be who we think they are. And so we've got to be paying attention, close attention, because these wolves in sheep clothing are not just wolves. They are ravenous wolves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, familiar passage for us where the Apostle Paul has called the elders from Ephesus to meet him in Miletus. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 is just a portion of what he tells these men, the elders of the church. Acts 20 and verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul tells the elders of the church at Ephesus that he knows that wolves will be coming in and they will not spare the flock. This is a different kind of wolf. This is a savage wolf as opposed to the ravenous wolf that Jesus tells us about. But these will not spare the flock. And he says, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Sometimes it is within a man's heart, and it overrides the will of God that he's read and that he's studied. It comes upon a man's heart that he wants disciples to follow him. I'm tired of all the disciples following that guy. I'm a good leader too, and I'm going to show it. And I don't quite think that that's what the scriptures are teaching. So I'm going to teach it this way. I'm going to do it that way. And they are going to draw. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the elders. They are going to draw disciples after themselves by this teaching and through this teaching, through this approach. And we are being warned. They are being warned. What does Paul say to them? Don't forget that for 3 years I warned you. Not I shared opinions and some thoughts and ideas I came up with last night. I warned you by the Word of God, by the whole counsel of God, that these men are coming. When I leave, you're going to be attacked. What would make us think in 2018 that we're not under attack? That the ravenous wolves have gone away. They don't want a part of the church anymore. Who's driving them? Is it the Lord or is it the devil? This is the place where the devil reigns, the earth, and he is having his way. This is a great call up for us to be on our toes and to know what God's Word says in every facet of what he's revealed to us so that we can stand against false teaching and against false brethren who come in with sheep's clothing on. We've seen the warning twice, one from Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 7, again from the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. Watch what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. The beauty of the scriptures is that it's not just watch out for ravenous wolves, which it does say, but when you look at these different pictures of who these people are and what they look like and the way they behave, we're given all the information we need by God so that we can purify ourselves, so that we can know what's right, and so that we can defend ourselves against these wicked and ungodly men. 2 Timothy 3 in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, this list, we know who these people are, right? These are people who are not in the church. They're boasters. They're not obedient to parents. They are behaving in a way where they slander each other. They're stabbing each other in the back. This can't be members of the church, can it? Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. There will be men and women in the church who have sheep's clothing on, but they're behaving in a way. The fruits that are bearing in their lives show to us that they're not faithful to the Word of God. They do not respect the power nor the Scriptures that God has given to us. And so they are not faithful to the Word, and they will be revealed through this process. We can see it if we're watching. We can see it if we're paying attention. We can know what is right and what is wrong. Our souls are at stake. From such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who are these people? Always learning, always studying. They know the language. We can talk about Scripture together. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge, to the full acceptance of the power of God, that the authority comes from Him, not from me. If I'm allowed by God, I can be an ambassador, I can be a minister of the Word of God, because that's fitting in His sight. But this is not by my authority, it is by His authority. How do I know when someone's deceiving me or leading me away from the truth? It's when they take over or usurp the authority of Jesus Christ and say, "Don't worry about that verse. I'm still working on that one. Here's what you need. Here's what you really need to know." Be on guard. Pay attention of these people. There's a picture given to us, too, about what they look like. Not only do they creep into households and make captives of gullible women, that they're always learning and they never come to the knowledge of the truth, but in verse 8, it says, "Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith." Now, Jannes and Jambres, as far as I'm aware, are not given to us in the Old Testament, but it is commonly believed that these would be men who were in the company of Korah in the rebellion against Moses and ultimately the rebellion against God. Remember what Korah said to Moses. "You take too much upon yourself. Are you so special? Are you more holy than all of us? Well, why do you get to go talk to the Lord and we can't?" The earth opened up and swallowed this man because of his rebellion against God. He wanted to take it to himself. He was not content with the will of God. He was not content that God chose Moses and not him. Verse 9 says, "These men will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." The nation of Israel, their folly was made known or manifest to the Israelites because the earth opened up and swallowed them. That's a dead giveaway that God's not pleased with you when He takes your life and Moses is still kept sound and seen faithful to God. But for us, we'll know. Their folly, it'll come out. We'll see it. How will we see it? How will you see it if you are not reading God's Word and you are not deep in His will? And know what these scriptures teach and know where you stand because of what God has said, not because of what your friend thinks or what your favorite preacher has said, but what you know to be true. That you stand firmly on that because God, my Father, has shared this with me. And He wants me to be saved. I can stand strong on His Word. I can trust in His authority because His desire is that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. I know that. So there is the ravenous wolf, that is the robber who is always wanting more. He is stealing and he's always looking to take more from us. There is also the savage wolf who is pressing down on a person with oppressive force. These are the two types of wolves that are given to us by Jesus and by Paul. One is a robber who always wants more. And one is a savage wolf who is pressing down on others with oppressive force and bearing his own thoughts and his own conclusion on others, separate and apart from the Word of God. He is a savage wolf. Another great challenge that the local church faces today is human wisdom. Look at Isaiah 55. You could have written this sermon here. You knew Isaiah 55 was coming up. If you didn't, you're about to be reminded as to why. Isaiah 55 in verse 8. "The Lord God, through the prophet Isaiah, says this to all men, 'For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways,' says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That is extremely important for us as we look to God, if we trust in Him and we trust in His authority, that sometimes my thoughts, my wisdom, if you will, is going to get in the way of the will of God. Because His thoughts are not my thoughts, and my ways are not His ways. He sees from a perspective that is far greater than mine. So what's needed here then? Can I know everything that God is doing? Can I fully understand everything He does in every moment in time? No. But I can sure know what this passage says and say, "Though He slay me, I will trust in Him. Because my thoughts, they are what they are, but they're not His. He has the authority. He has the power. He has the majesty. I do not." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Danny Simmons was not there. And so it's up to Him. He has the authority. He has the right. And He's saying to us with great love, My thoughts are greater than yours. I am the eternal God. Trust me. Trust me. You do it my way. You do it my way. Have faith. Have confidence. Don't rely on your own wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul deals with human wisdom and the great fallacy that lies there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul begins by saying this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." God is not foolish in any way at all whatsoever. But even if there were foolishness of God, it would be profound and great wisdom when compared to the wisdom of men. Man does not have what it takes to save himself. It is not within us to see all of this through, to know all of what God has done from beginning to end without Him revealing that to us. And so the wisdom of this age will surely pass. How many wise people were walking around in the days of Noah? Think about it with me. Let's think about this very seriously. How many wise people? I bet you there was a bunch of them. Because there's grandmas and grandpas who have wise sayings. They're very intelligent. They're wise in how they use their time from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And so I look to grandma or grandpa because, man, they're smart. And everything they've done has shown me that they're smart. But they too are calling Noah a fool. Now I got to choose. We've got a guy over here building an ark, a giant ship. And he says, rain's coming, which I have not seen. Grandma says, Noah's a crackpot. And I love Grandma. She's always been right. She's wise. What's the difference? The difference is Noah has the Word of God. He is working towards something that he has been told will certainly come to pass. What happened to the wise of that day? Save Noah and his family. We know they were truly wise because they obeyed God. What happened to the rest? There were smart people in that group. Surely there was. Don't you see with me that we're going to have to be on our toes? We're going to have to be listening to what God says first, but then listen to what others are saying. Because human wisdom can and will and has always gotten us into a world of trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the things of the world that are the things that are despised by God are chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him who knows the wisdom of God glory in God and in God alone. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Paul says, as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared before those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Remember what God told us in Isaiah? Your ways and your thoughts are not mine, and my ways and my thoughts are not yours. And yet now God, an all-knowing and all-powerful God, is revealing these things to us because the Spirit which searches all things of God has revealed them to us. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The wisdom of God has been given to us and shared with us by the will of God through the Holy Spirit of God. That though everyone outside of the church itself would look and laugh and scoff and say, you foolish people are still looking at that old book and you're still listening to that guy with the microphone ranting and raving about how everyone's in sin. You still doing that? How's that working out for you? It's fantastic because I know what it says. It says judgment day is coming. It says there is an end coming that neither I nor you can stop. And I am prepared, I am ready, I am holding fast to the word of life, and you should too, because Jesus Christ is coming. We have the mind of Christ. That looks like something. It's alive within us, it's stirring within us, it guides us and it leads us. It helps us guard ourselves against wolves, and it helps us guard ourselves against human wisdom. Some things sound right, but are they? We can know because God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Number three, great challenge that I see facing the Lord's church today is my feelings. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 12. If you get there before me, you can read it for yourself. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Remember where wisdom comes from? Remember the source of wisdom, the all-great and eternal wisdom is God. He who walks wisely will be blessed. He'll benefit from that effort. But a man who trusts in his own heart, that I think that's right, this feels good. It seems to me, those kind of phrases, is a fool. What we discern must be built and compared to and established on the living Word of God and nothing else. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you now, my feelings, me personally, will get me in all kinds of trouble. I cannot judge the things of this world, the spiritual things that God has given to us, by how I feel. How many times will men's feelings get them into trouble? How many people today, holding the same scriptures that we hold, have quickly departed from the Word of God and may not find their way back? Because this feels okay. I'm getting used to this new worship service we have. I'm not talking about ours next week. I'm talking about those who engage in some kind of worship service that's not from the Word of God, whatever it may be. I'm not talking about times. That is the liberty that we find in Jesus Christ to determine what time during the first day of the week we will gather and worship Him according to His will and according to His authority. And if we are not doing that, God help us. We are the greatest of all fools to gather together and to proclaim that we love Jesus, yet not listen to what He's told us or to what His apostles have given to us to follow with all of our hearts. God help us. We can't be there. We don't ever want to be there. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah is able to look out to watch his fellow man and say in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own footsteps. It's just not within us. We can walk. I can direct my footsteps. It's where I end up that matters to the Lord. And it's not within man to direct his own footsteps so that he may achieve the great victory at the end of his life. Victory that is only found in Jesus Christ and in the will of God, according to his will, to his word, and according to our faithful obedience. I want to tell you again that my feelings can get me into a lot of trouble. I want to share with you a story that took place here several years ago. Many of you know and remember Steve and Donna Newton. They were faithful members of the church here for several years. I love them very much. They were good to me. But you may remember during the time that Steve and Donna were here that Steve had to go in for open heart surgery. And if I remember correctly, it was quadruple bypass. And so they were going to open up his chest. And they needed to get in there and clear out those arteries in order to save his life. And so he went through that surgery. The doctors did a magnificent job, and the Lord has healed Steve and given him life to this very day. But I remember Steve telling me, I guess it was about a month after the surgery, that the doctors had told him, here's a list of things you can do, and don't do anything else outside of that. So Steve says that, he's looking at the swimming pool, he wants to go swimming. He feels like he can do it. Did you hear that word, feels? He feels like he can do it. Now, the doctors have told him that's not on the list. You don't do that. His wife, Donna, who loved and cared for him, said, don't do that. And he said, I can do it. I know I can. I really feel like I can. And so he went out into the pool, and Steve told me several days later that he almost drowned in that pool that was only 5 foot deep because he got about halfway across the pool and realized he was not going to make it. What got him there? It's just an example. What got him there? His feelings. Doctors say it's too soon. My wife's begging me not to do it. I'm going to try it. I really feel like I can do it. Well, that's one thing to base what you do next on. Can or will your feelings save your soul? That's what we need to know. There are wolves that usurp the authority of Jesus Christ. They are out there. They are alive and well today by the power of Satan himself. Human wisdom is very seldom in line with the will of God. And my feelings should never be my standard for scriptural authority. Scriptural authority must come from Jesus Christ and his apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus will say, beginning in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ says, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore and teach and preach all that I have commanded you, which is what we see the apostles doing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, there's a picture here of the husband and the wife. Verse 23 says, the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Look down at verse 33. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Faithful submissiveness, faithful obedience to Jesus Christ, because he is the head. And the last verse for your consideration this morning is Colossians chapter 1 in verse 17. Colossians 1 in verse 17 tells us so beautifully and so clearly where the authority of God comes from and that we can rest and be assured by it. Colossians 1, 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things exist, that is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Watch verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Jesus Christ is granted all preeminence. The church is that body of which he is the head. We are submissive and we are faithful and we are obedient to him and to him alone. If we remain in that faithful walk in the Word, the living Word of God, your soul will be saved for all of eternity. God knows the dangers that are lurking out there. God has given us the warnings that we need, and God expects you to be faithful to His truth. He expects me to hold fast to the Word of life. Please do that. Please do that. Please continue to do that. Walk faithfully in the Lord, knowing that there is coming a great and awesome day when the King will say to those who are faithful, "Enter in, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will now make you ruler or steward over great riches." If we need to respond to the gospel this morning, it is our sincere desire that you do that. Understand that God has paid the ultimate price for your soul. He purchased your soul with the blood of Jesus Christ, also knowing that it would be up to you to decide to accept the grace of God, to accept the gift that He's given, to be washed in the blood of Jesus. If we can help you in any way, it's a great opportunity right now for you to come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.